After more than a year of collecting photos, music, records, memories, the Nova Scotia LGBTQ archive at Dalhousie University will launch later today. And research assistant Dan McKay says what they've collected so far is only the tip of the iceberg. He's on the line to tell us about some of the stuff that they've found. Good morning and welcome back to the show, Dan.
Good morning, good morning. Morning, Portia.
Good morning, good morning. Well, congratulations on the launch. What's the event going to be like?
Thank you. Well, like everything these days, it's going to be an online event. We're going to have a few people introducing the project, and we're going to have our star librarian and archivist giving a little tutorial on how to access the catalog of items online. So that's one thing that's easy to do, online. That's mm-hmm. going to work out really well. So people will learn, how to find stuff, in the catalog, and from there, researchers and writers can access the actual materials if they want to.
Right. Where would we be without our star librarians? That's the idea, is that this archive will be useful for people who are writing about LGBTQ communities and stories and experiences, Dan?
Well, you never know who your audience is going to be. This is one of the reasons that the archives are set up to be as neutral as possible. You can't forecast your audience, but in my imagination, there are researchers who will want to write stories about how life was in the 70s and 80s and 90s and beyond, and people writing histories of organizations and say the history, playing another history of the LGBT movement in Nova Scotia, or, for instance, the history of AIDS activism in Nova Scotia. You know, there's a story that hasn't been told, a very interesting story and a passionate one. With the materials in the archives, we're now very, very, very well set up to help someone write that story. On top of that, there's going to be people writing fiction into the indefinite future. 100 years from now and 500 years from now, someone's going to want to write a piece of fiction set in 1977 in Halifax, and we're going to be able to say, here's a bunch of documents that give you an idea of what it was like.
Yeah, lo and behold, and some of them you didn't even know yourself were out there. We talked about this, 6 months, maybe a year ago, even when you were just starting to go through some of the things people were bringing to you. What did you find along the way?
We found a lot of newspaper clippings. A lot of people kept scrapbooks, which is fantastic. What that tells you is that this is a curated source of information, right? So it tells you what was important to this person at a particular time. That's when you cut something out of the paper, it's important to you. It's work for you to do. So that tells you what's important. We were expecting photographs, and man, people came through. We have tens of thousands of photographs. So that's fantastic. We have a bunch of parade banners that I wasn't expecting to see. Lots of every organization, wanted to have an entry in the Pride Parade over the years, and to do that in a fun way, you have a parade banner, and these are all handmade. Someone would take something like a tablecloth, and people would get together a few days before the parade or the morning of, and they would paint up a parade banner. And we've got a collection of those, and they're amazing. They're all so different.
And you found some missing Halifax Pride posters from the mid-90s, did you?
Oh, yeah. This is a great story. In 1996, we printed up. In 1996, the Pride Committee in Halifax decided to do something extremely bold. We were going to put up bus ads for the first time ever. It's going to be our most public promotion of Halifax Pride ever. And we bought the bus ads that sit just above your head on the bus and have a light behind them, so they have to be translucent. And they're about 20-30 centimeters high, and they're about a meter wide. And we had a bunch of these printed. We had probably 100 printed, but only about 30 of them got in use, because you would put one on each bus, you know, for a bunch. And they kept disappearing. But we were predicting that they were, so that's why we'd printed extra ones. We had predicted that homophobes would tear down these bus posters. Now, in hindsight, if you think about the mechanics of someone homophobically tearing down one of those bus posters while on the bus, it's very unlikely. Anyway,
they were mementos, more likely. Hey,
so what happened was, people, as we've been doing this project, we've discovered that a whole bunch of people have these bus posters in their collections, and they're appearing. And my idea is that people took these as mementos. Yeah, so there's a stack of those. The most exciting thing that I think we've gotten, though, is this. There's a women's choir, kind of a political choir, for a group called the Secret Furies, and they were around for quite a few years, but there were no recordings of them, and you know, there's lots of documentation of where they met and the concerts and stuff, and one of our contributors, a couple of months ago, said, "Hey, I have a box of." Rehearsal cassettes here. Do you want from the Secret Furies? Do you want them? Like, heck yes!
Find something to play them on. Yeah.
The most exciting thing is to have these the audio recordings of the choir performing.
How's the audio quality on those?
It totally varies, right? Because they were done with a cassette recorder that sometimes was in the middle of the choir and it sounds really great, yeah. And sometimes it was at the back of the room and you can just barely hear them, but there's not going to be a best hits CD released from these, that's for sure.
But amazing to hear their voices instead of just imagining them. So how do people get access to the archive? And by the way, who is your star archivist?
Our star archivist is Lydia Hunsberger. She's a recently graduated student, and she's been doing all the hardcore archiving work. I've been out in the community talking to people and collecting these materials and finding out who has what and queuing them up for in terms of urgency. And she's been cataloging all this stuff. The materials are going into the Dalhousie Archives. Now, a lot of people don't know that Dalhousie University has an archives as part of their library system, but it's a formal archives, just like the Nova Scotia Public Archives. They're secure and climate controlled, and they have an electronic online catalog, and you can access that just if you just Google for Nova Scotia LGBT Archives. You'll get dropped into somewhere that will take you to the catalog.
Okay, perfect. Down the rabbit hole you go.
And this afternoon at the launch, we'll be showing people how to use that catalog search tool.
Okay, perfect. And the launch is between 4 and 5, and I'll tell people how to take part in that. I know that it's a project that will continue on even after the launch, so people can still get things to you as well. Thanks very much for this interview, Dan, and it's good to hear that you've made the full circle here with the launch of the archive today.
My pleasure.
Take good care.
Looking forward to keeping you updated in the future.
Sounds great. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Dan McKay, Research Assistant for the LGBTQ Archive. You can go to the virtual launch today. It is between 4 and 5. You head to dal.ca/LGBT-archives. That's dal.ca/LGBT-archives. You can also send a request directly to dannslgbtarchives@gmail.com. And if you have anything else that you'd like to add to the archives, you can tell Dan about it then.